Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know you're at the right place to get all the most current home improvement information that you're going to find anywhere. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini, and we're going to be tying into a lot of really cool subjects today. Got some people calling in from all over the country, and certainly all of you that sent us emails. We appreciate that. We're going to get to as many of those as we can. Now, you can send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask, or pick up the phone anytime. 1-800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. Also receiving lots and lots of messages through the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. You can certainly join us there at any time. Some of the things we're going to be tackling during this hour of Today's Homeowner: enhancing your interior of your home with a little bit of extra trim. Joe, you know so many houses have the sheetrock drywall returns, and boy, you can really make a difference by adding a little bit of trim around those windows.
Yeah, in most traditional homes, and certainly up here in New England where I live, all the windows and doors are trimmed out with casings, which are what is known as that interior trim work. And but if you don't have that, you can certainly add it. You know, it's not, you can nail it up right over it. There's a couple of little tricks that we'll share with our listeners. But yeah, it's a great way to add a little style and architectural interest, I guess you could say, to window and door treatments.
Another interesting question we're going to tackle is, someone has a cast iron weather vane. Think about that. You know, those
cast
old
iron.
Classic kind of weather vanes that you see here and there, and they want to get it working, and it has not been working for, say, 40 years. So what can we do?
How do you know the wind just hasn't been blowing in the same direction for 40 years? Maybe that's it.
I know, maybe not, but we're going to offer some suggestions on how to get the weather vane working again, but also you can use some of the same ideas to get some of the other rust off of some other tools, and that's very important. Speaking of rust, Joe, over the last year, we've heard so many people talking about rust stains on their asphalt shingles. That's something that we've tackled quite a bit.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, ordinarily when there's rust on a surface, let's say it's wood or metal or concrete, right? We get a lot of concrete. We get brick, you know, staining on bricks. You can be a little aggressive because of the material. But, yeah, an asphalt shingle roof, you want to be up there scrubbing it. And you'll scrub the granules right off there, and you'll, you know, then you have to replace the shingles. And if you've never had rust on your asphalt roof, you might wonder, well, how's that even possible? But it's relatively common. You know, it's not all over the whole roof. It's usually in spots, but it is a relatively common problem. And so we'll be talking to a homeowner who has that exact problem with his house.
Now, Joe, what about a simple solution? I know you have one coming up a little bit. Give us a tease on that.
All right. Do you have white nail polish in your shop? You don't? Well, I'm going to be telling you why you should coming up in this hour's simple solution. And it's a really good one. We've had amazing response from the website, and you can check out a video, but I'm going to share that tip with you coming up.
Well, now, a lot of people may have that nail polish in their shop, but they just don't want to admit it. They don't want to tell you about it. So
okay.
Maybe there's a little bit of that. Well, I tell you what, Joe and I were looking forward to going fishing. We got up early. We went fishing. And
you did?
We brought back a cooler full of speckled trout. And, man, what a great day. Wasn't it, Joe?
Oh, it was wonderful. And it's the first time Danny and I have been fishing quite a bit. I was down in Mobile last week. Was it just last week? And we went fishing. And I guess we were in the Mississippi Sound, which I didn't know there was a thing, but it's we're near the Mississippi-Alabama border, and it was just beautiful salt water. And our target species was the speckled trout, and we caught about 14 of them, Danny and I and his wife Sharon. But I caught maybe, how many do you think, Danny? 12 different species of fish.
You caught fish that was on the list there. I mean,
it was amazing. I didn't know there were that many species out there. I kept catching, and every time I pulled one in, we had a guide take us out on his boat. I'm like, well, I'm not even sure what this is. And so that was pretty exciting to see all those different species. Because often you catch, you know, the same fish over and over again, which is nice. But that was pretty exciting. That was the first time that ever happened to me.
Yeah, it definitely was a great time. Always good to get out on the water, whether you catch fish or not. But that was an exceptionally good day. And I've enjoyed blackened trout. I've tried some pan fried. I grilled some. I mean, but they're all gone. Now I have to go back fishing again if I want some more fish.
Well, you're pretty close to the water, so you can cast right out your bedroom window.
Well, we're glad that we're able to be with you today. We actually, here in Mobile, Alabama, certainly got hit by Hurricane Sally a fair amount. Certainly east of us in the Pensacola area and around there got hit even more. So we certainly are thinking of those that still don't have power. Actually, I don't have power right now at my house, so my home studio was of no use to me today. So I came into town to do the show from here, but still I think there's somewhere around 75,000 houses just in the Mobile, Alabama area still without power. So it's kind of mangled up and tangled here a bit.
Yeah, well, I can empathize. We had, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, we had a hurricane blow through New England, southern New England, and I was out of power for, I think, 5 or 6 days. And the problem with something like that is, you know, it's not like one tree falling over and, you know, the local crew comes out. Here, there's such widespread destruction and power outages. You have to call in crews from other states and you have to wait for them to show up, you know, because there's just too much for the local crews to handle. So hopefully you'll be getting somebody in your neighborhood shortly to hook up all those wires.
Yeah, I hope so. You know, you always hear about things where you get to know your neighbors and that type of thing. I was trying to leave my house and the first road I came to, there's a big giant tree there. So I turned, went the other direction, and there were 10 or 12 people down in the middle of the road there, chainsaws and little tractors and everybody, you know, working together to try to clear that road. So we cut and cut and cut and got the road out. And so I took off. I made it about a mile and a half in another tree. So it just, it was a long journey to get to back into town to check on some other property and so forth. But just minor stuff, just, you know, a lot of leaves and limbs all over the place. And so I don't know what they will do with all of that. And they have a burn ban right now, so nobody can burn anything. So there's going to be a lot of limbs and leaves getting moved around. But it's always a mess. But you always, you know, every time I see someone going through a situation like this, you always, you know, every little thing you get, you realize how spoiled you are with things like hot water, electricity, that kind of thing. And each day you hear somebody else just getting their power back, getting a little bit back to normal. So hopefully when I go home this afternoon, I'll see the lights all on. I don't know.
I hope you will. And when you have a blackout, it's amazing how your brain is trained, right? We were out of power for 5 days. I was still flipping light switches. I know the power's out. You know, the whole house is dark, but I walk down the stairs into the basement, I throw the light switch.
I know it.
What do I think's going to happen?
Yeah, no, I had Sharon going on that for a couple days there. Hey, could you flip that switch on there? I need, and she'd almost have her hand on it. She'd go, don't, I'm not doing that. So it's amazing how that kind of thing happens.
But when you pull up to the house and you see the lights on, like, it's like Christmas morning.
I know. Right?
Like,
I know.
We were out for 5 days without power, and we had gone out to just get out of the neighborhood. And we came home, and I had left the front porch lights on, which were dark for all that time. And we pulled up the driveway, and I saw those lights on. I was never happier to get the power back.
Hey, another thing we're going to tackle a little bit later this hour is a real common question that we've gotten a lot about putting certain floors over other floors. You know, you can put ceramic right over vinyl. You can put ceramic directly over other ceramic, but it depends on what's underneath that. And so it's a little complicated sometimes. And of course, it's always better to, you know, remove the original floor, get right back down to the original subfloor. But sometimes it's okay to cover right over it.
Yeah, depending, as Danny said, depending on what is on the floor now and the condition of it, of course, and what is the subfloor, more importantly, especially if you're putting down porcelain tiles on a floor, you know, you need a really rock solid substrate. If you're putting vinyl down, you know, and there's a little flex in the plywood, well, you know, you're not really even going to notice it. Maybe it'll squeak a little bit, but it's not going to affect the floor much. But with a tile floor, we have really hard grout and you have really hard tiles. You know, a little bit of movement can cause damage, right?
That's right.
Tiles. Mm-hmm. Cracked tiles, grout joints being all cracked and fractured. So that's where it's really important. But yeah, you can, these days, you can, especially with floating floors, you can, which means, which are floors that don't get fastened down in any way, you can float them over almost anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's an easy way of changing a room very, very quickly. And you know, it's just like over in Europe when a lot of the laminate floors really got very popular, where it's traditional that when you sell a house, let's say in Germany, that there are no cabinets in the house. All of the cabinets stand alone. You take the cabinets with you. And they even started doing that with the floors. You put a floating laminate floor down, you actually stack the floor out, take it with the moving van, and you move it to your next house. So that would cause a little alarm around in America.
I think it would.
Bought a house and you walk in and all the kitchen cabinets are gone.
Yeah. That would be. They start removing the subfloor, then that really would have a problem.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that would be a problem. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We're just getting started here with all kinds of subjects. I'll remind you again of that phone number, 800-946-4420. Ready to send us an email? We're ready for it. todayshomeowner.com/ask. I hope your day is going well. We're going to try to make it a little better by sharing some great home improvement information with you, and hopefully we can have a little fun along the way. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio, and we'll be right back.
Pros today have to do whatever the job calls for, and the Home Depot is here to help make that easier. With a wide range of delivery options, you can get what you need, from job lot quantities to small supply runs, delivered where and when you need it. Don't want to buy the tool? Rent it. We've got the most innovative products and more ways for pros to find them, in-store and online. Pros are changing, so are we. The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Ready for some home improvement inspiration? Full episodes and seasons of Today's Homeowner TV are now available on Crackle and Prime Video. Grab your favorite streaming device and watch Danny Lipford and Chelsea Lipford Wolf as they help real homeowners maintain and upgrade their homes. Get their expert how-to advice and simple solutions to make your house the best-looking one on the block. Watch for free on Crackle and on Prime Video for subscribers. Search for Today's Homeowner and start watching today.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot, how doers get more done.
Welcome back to the show, the Today's Homeowner radio show that's heard from coast to coast on over 300 great radio stations just like this one, WHMP AM 1400 and 96.9 FM in Northampton, Massachusetts.
Hello to brand manager Monty Belmonte. Thank you, Monty, for putting us on the air there. Northampton is located in central Massachusetts, just north of Springfield. It was first settled by Dutch traders in the 1630s. And today it's home to Smith College, a very famous women's college. And it's also the hometown of Calvin Coolidge, our 30th president, novelist Kurt Vonnegut, and nonfiction writer Tracy Kidder. Hmm. Now, Tracy Kidder won a Pulitzer Prize for a book called The Soul of the New Machine, which is about the creation of a new computer. But he's most famous, and the reason I bring him up, he's probably best known as the author of the 1985 groundbreaking book, House, which is a fascinating, unvarnished, behind-the-scenes look at building a house from scratch. It is an amazing
book. Is that right? I've never heard of that.
Yeah. It was a huge sell. It was a New York Times bestseller. I read it shortly after it came out. And anyone that's interested in home building or even peripherally, check out this book. It's called House. I'm sure it's probably still in print. It's a really quick read. It's just fascinating. Danny, as a builder, you would just love it. He has no real building experience. It's not his house. It's basically, he's a fly on the wall, and he's watching these homeowners building a house, dealing with the builder and the architect and the building department. And it really is just a fascinating read. Yeah,
wow.
So check it out.
I'll take a look at that. Well, we certainly appreciate everybody in the Massachusetts area that listens to the show. We certainly get a lot of emails and calls in from that area, and we will keep them coming, and we'll keep coming up with the right information that you need. Remember, it's 800-946-4420, the Today's Homeowner Hotline, and we're going to go right to the hotline right now. We have James in Colorado. James, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danny. After watching a few of your videos online, my wife and I got inspired to add some trim to our bedroom windows.
Okay.
And so I bought a new miter saw
gotcha.
To do the project, but we didn't budget in for a nail gun. So we're going to be doing this old school hammer and nails.
Okay.
So my question to you is, what type of nails should I use to attach a trim? Also, do you have any tips to help me keep from splintering or damaging the wood?
All right. Sure, sure. We got plenty of, to share with you there. It is nice when you have the nail gun, but hey, we did it for years and years without it. And one of the things, your selection of your nails, you want a bright finish nail, a bright finish finishing nail. You don't want anything galvanized or anything along those lines. You don't need it because it's inside.
Okay.
And it also goes through the wood a lot better. I would also get a nail punch. That's something nobody thinks about, but when you drive that nail in, just before you drive it in all the way, you can use the nail punch to slightly recess it below the face of the wood. And are you planning on painting or staining the wood?
We'll be staining.
Okay. All right. Well, a lot of times people will stain it ahead of time, but you don't necessarily need to. But when you recess that nail a little bit, look for some colored putty. And now a lot of times I'll go ahead and stain first and then take the putty and just work it. You know, usually I'll buy two or three little cans, containers of it, and try it out to see which one really works the best. And it goes a long way. But then after that, you can move forward with it. Joe, any tips on the miter saw there, other than keep your fingers out away from the blade?
Keep all your fingers away from the blade. Yeah, James. I mean, for the miter saw, I mean, first and foremost, I assume you're cutting miters, right? 45-degree miters for the corner
right.
joints. So you know, make a test cut on a piece of scrap and make sure it's exactly 45. You can't just go by where the saw locks. And the saw will have a detent, meaning it'll automatically lock itself at 45 degrees, but it's adjustable. It might be 44, it might be 43, 46. So, I would cut it and then use a combination square to check it. So that's the first thing, because if it's not exactly 45 and you're trying to make a 90-degree angle by bringing two 45s together, it's not going to work. You wind up with a gap, and you don't want that. And as far as the nailing, now most casing, and I'm sure the one you bought, James, is thinner at the inner edge, meaning the edge that's going to go near the window, and thicker at the outer edge. And so
right.
you would need two different size finishing nails. I usually use, they're sold as 4D finishing nails. They're 1.5 inches long when you're nailing through the thinner edge, which is closer to the window. Then you can use either 6D or 8D, and that's 2 inches or 2.5 inches long at the outer edge where it's thicker. I nailed up some casing recently, and it was over an inch thick on the outer edge. So, I went to the larger nail. And if you find it splitting, when you nail near the edge, just pre-drill it. Get a small bit, or you can even use a finishing nail. I showed a simple solution. You can chuck the actual finishing nail you're using to nail up the trim, chuck it into the drill and use that to drill the hole. And this way you end up with a perfect size pilot hole, because it might split near, in the middle of the molding it won't, but when you're nailing near the edge, near the end rather, sometimes the nails have a tendency to split it.
Oh, okay. What's the nail punch? What does that look like?
The nail set. Yeah.
Oh.
So it basically almost looks like a big nail. It just has a head on it that you're able
okay.
to. The small end will go right into the recess on the finish nail, and then just tap it with a hammer just to get it just below the surface of the trim.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. Well.
By the way, James, I'd recommend buying a set of nail sets. They come in a set of three for different size nails. So nail heads are like, one of them's really tiny and they get bigger and bigger, because you can't use one on all nails. So, and they're affordable, probably for $10, you get three of them. And find the ones that are coated in rubber, not the all metal ones. They're just much more comfortable when you strike them with a hammer.
Got it. Okay. Well, this will be our first carpentry project. So wish us luck.
Well,
right.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Good luck.
Be easy with that saw, and then I'm sure it'll be a success and you'll be tackling everything around there. So best of luck to you, James.
Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it.
All righty. Thank you. Did you see Joe when he says nail set, not nail punch? Boy, you corrected me on that one, didn't you?
I wasn't going to say anything, but James asked.
I saw your eyes rolling over there like, oh, my goodness, what am I doing here? Hey, let's go grab us an email here. This is from Sherry in Missouri. I have laminate flooring in my living room. Is it possible to replace an individual plank? And if possible, how do I go about doing that? I certainly enjoy your show, and thank you so much for helping us DIYers with our projects. Sherry, you're certainly welcome on that. We enjoy each each and every minute of the show. And Joe, that's one of the advantages with laminate floor, that if you do have one, you know, assuming you have some left over that you can match and so forth.
Oh, right, yeah.
But different floors, the laminate floor, some of them click together. That makes it a little harder to take them apart. Sometimes you have to cut it out with a razor knife in order to remove that one piece. What are your suggestions for someone that has a problem with one of the pieces? And I guess it depends on, is it in the center of the floor or is it near the edge?
Yeah, if it's, they're almost never on the edge of the floor where you don't see it, right? A damaged board always seems to be right in the middle where you're walking or carrying something. It, you know, it probably isn't a stain because laminate's pretty stain resistant. But yeah, I mean, it's not unlike removing a wooden floor where you have to either drill or cut holes and then connect the holes with a saw or oscillating multi-tool, and what you want to do is remove as much of the middle of the plank as necessary, and then pull out the pieces that are left. And then depending on what kind of tongue and groove the new plank has, you have to cut it away and essentially just glue it in place, glue it to the surrounding boards, because obviously you can't snap it in place because you're removing all the parts that snap. So you're cutting away the bottom edge of the grooved sections, essentially, and just gluing it down. But yeah, it can be done. It's a little tedious, but it can be done.
That's good. And that's another advantage of, and one of the reasons of the popularity of the luxury vinyl planks. I mean, those, boy, you can just peel those things right up, put a little glue, and put them right back down. But they're so durable, you rarely have any kind of damage on it unless something, you know, really cuts it. But a lot of advantages to some of the newer flooring that's available out there. Hey, coming up, I'm going to tell you about a really cool storage container that you can use inside or out. It's waterproof, and it might be a solution to some of the storage challenges you have. All of that and more coming up on today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini, and it is time for our Best New Product segment brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Storage is always an issue for homeowners, which is why I wanted you to hear about this professional duty waterproof storage container from Husky. It's a great solution for your storage needs, both inside and out. First, there's a 6-point latching lid, an interior gasket which protects the contents from dust and water. It's great for storing tools on your back porch or in the bed of a truck. And the high impact resistant polycarbonate lid allows you to see exactly what's inside and can be hinged from either side or removed completely. There's also tie down holes to secure the container, and you can store plenty with a weight capacity of 500 pounds. Plus, it's designed and tested to handle heavy abuse from dropping, stacking, and tossing. So for more information on this unique professional duty waterproof storage container from Husky, just check it out at homedepot.com. You can't get enough storage like that. And you know,
absolutely,
the traditional toolboxes on trucks that you have in there, especially mine with those bigger tires and so forth, you can't reach in there. I mean, you have to climb up in there, or I actually have a little ladder that I can lift out and put there and crawl and then call up, you know, a couple steps
there.
Can see in the toolbox. Looks a little weird, but it works pretty good.
That's okay. Yeah. But a plastic bin with a 500-pound capacity.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was possible.
Yeah, no.
Wow.
And a clear top. That seems
that's really
pretty unique. So
a top that you can remove completely, because the hinged lids are sometimes a pain in the neck.
Oh, I know it. I know exactly. Okay, we're going to go right back to the Today's Homeowner Hotline. We'd encourage you to give us a call anytime, 800-946-4420. We have Greg on the line from New Jersey. Greg, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Tell us about this weather vane. Sounds very classy and very interesting.
Well, it's been in service for about 40 years, And it's like anything else. It looks good. It sits on a roof in the horizon at the back of the property. And it always heads east to west. And it's perfect. When the wind was blowing one day northeast, it was blowing the same way. And I said, no, you're not doing something you're supposed to do. So I went out, and I went up on the roof. It's frozen. I cannot get it to release. This thing looks as new as the day it was put up there.
Huh. Wow.
Even up close.
Oh, okay.
It was made in the States, Whitehall Productions, whomever they are.
Uh-huh.
But they're good at what they do. Oh, by the way, you guys are pretty good, too. You put on a hell of a show.
Well, I appreciate
Thanks,
that.
Greg.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, when you have something like that, you got to get some type of lubricant down where the problem is. You certainly don't want to force it and so forth. And with it being still on the roof, limits you a little bit, because that would have been the first thing I would say, is basically turn it upside down and start getting some penetrating oil to kind of run down into all of the joints, but certainly not possible if it's on the roof continually.
Well, I take it down. I go up on a ladder, take it down. I used Blaze on it. Blaze didn't cut it. I used fire on it, or heat.
Right.
Torch. That didn't help. And I do not want to use a hammer.
No. I wouldn't use a hammer. Greg, the only thing I could suggest, first, you know, if it was a rusted part, I mean, I've had great success soaking him in white vinegar, and it takes a little while, might take a day or two, but that will dissolve the rust. This might be beyond white vinegar. You could try that, certainly. That might be beyond it. I know that WD-40 makes a spray called Specialist Penetrant, which is specially designed for freeing rusted parts, and Liquid Wrench, of course, you could always use. You'd probably have to, in both cases, soak them, you know, as much as you could. But you know, if not, you can try those, and they may or may not work. It's certainly worth trying them. But if none of those products or ideas work, you might have to try a professional grade penetrant, and that's what you're looking for. You're not looking for a lubricant. You're actually looking for a product that's called a penetrant. And
well,
when
go
ahead.
Yeah, well, Blaze is a catalytic penetrating. It attacks the metal rather than the rust.
Right.
So I've used it, and I used it repeatedly, and it still would not bring loose the main joint that moves, which they tell you not to lubricate under any circumstances.
Right, exactly.
When you put it up there.
Well, I have one other suggestion, Greg, which is a professional-grade penetrant, and I use this. I one time worked as a millwright, which is a mechanic that assembles and disassembles machinery.
Sure. Yeah.
And we used it in disassembling machinery. It's called it's made by a company called, I think it's pronounced Kano or Kano. It's K-A-N-O.
Mm-hmm.
And the product is Aero Croil. I don't know what that means, but it's A-E-R-O-K-R-O-I-L. Aero Croil Penetrating Oil. It's not cheap. It's like $22 for a can. But that, I mean, if that doesn't work, I'm not sure. You'd have to take it to a fabricator and have him try to do something with it.
Right. Well, I appreciate it. If it works, it saves me a lot of money. $22 is not a
right.
lot of money, because I'm going to give it a shot.
There you go.
Well, like you said, you don't want to be hammering on it, because you'll bust something and then you won't be able to get it fixed. So try any or all of these ideas and let us know how it worked out. I hope you get that thing spinning and facing in the right direction when the wind blows.
I hope so. You guys take care. You do a great job.
Hey, thank you very much, Greg. Thanks so much for being with us here, and have a great weekend. That's that's one of those things when you have an older piece of iron like that, you know,
right.
Boy, it's just great to restore it, and great to maintain it like that. And I appreciate Greg's interest in something like that. You know, you can just ignore something like that, or, you know, think of the satisfaction once that
right.
thing was working, and you look up there and the wind's blowing and you go, okay, now it's doing its job.
Right, exactly. In 40 years, I mean, you don't want to just toss something out like that. If he gets it freed up, free up those rusted parts, it'll last another 40 years.
That's right. And so many times, though, you know, if you watch our television show, you see from time to time we're painting and restoring light fixtures, like on the outside, maybe by your front door. Because so many
right.
times,
yep.
those are some really, really well built. They just may be out of date as far as the finish or just kind of oxidized a little bit. But boy, when you can really revitalize that, that sure does make a big difference. We like a little recycling and upcycling here at Today's Homeowner Radio. Always will give you some ideas and encouragement to tackle some of those projects and kind of hold on to what you already have. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. A lot more show coming up. We'll be right back.
Ready for some home improvement inspiration? Full episodes and seasons of Today's Homeowner TV are now available on Crackle and Prime Video. Grab your favorite streaming device and watch Danny Lipford and Chelsea Lipford Wolf as they help real homeowners maintain and upgrade their homes. Get their expert how-to advice and simple solutions to make your house the best-looking one on the block. Watch for free on Crackle and on Prime Video for subscribers. Search for Today's Homeowner and start watching today.
Even if you're not a professional woodworker, you want to use the glue the pros use. And 3 out of 4 pro woodworkers trust TiteBond as their choice. For building wood furniture or cabinets, to making picture frames or birdhouses, or just general repairs around the house, TiteBond has the widest choice of glues to help with whatever project you want to tackle. TiteBond, the right glue for your next project. Just ask the pros. For more information, visit TiteBond.com or see them on Facebook.
Are you tired of cleaning your shower? Let Wet & Forget Shower clean it for you. Wet & Forget is the quickest, easiest way to keep your shower sparkling clean. Just spray the shower top to bottom and you're done. Next morning, simply rinse it clean. That's it. Use Wet & Forget Shower once a week to tackle soap scum, shower grime, mold, and mildew stains. No scrubbing, no bleach, and no harsh fumes. Don't waste time scrubbing your shower. Pick up a bottle of Wet & Forget Shower at the Home Depot. For a $2 off coupon, go to homedepot.com/cleaningsavings. Ready to make your slippery surfaces safer indoors and out? Deitch Coatings now brings you TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer, and I think it's a winner. TrackSafe is a tough, pre-mixed clear coat you can roll onto slippery concrete, stone, tile, linoleum, and painted surfaces. It brings added beauty and foot traction to steps, wet pool decks and walkways, garage and interior floors, and more. Get a grip with slip-resistant TrackSafe. Order today online through the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Outdoor concrete projects are quick and easy with Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag. Whether you need to set a fence post, mailbox post, or deck footing, or even pour a backyard patio, Quikrete fast-setting concrete in the red bag makes it simple. To set a post, there's no mixing. Just pour the dry mix into the hole and add water. It sets hard in about 20 minutes and you're done. It's that fast and easy. Quikrete fast-setting concrete. Look for it in the red bag.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Pavestone, creating beautiful landscapes.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where we're very reachable. You can send us an email anytime, todayshomeowner.com/ask, or give us a call on the Today's Homeowner Hotline, 800-946-4420. That's exactly what Jim did. He's on the line right now with a problem that we're hearing more and more about. Jim, welcome to the show, and tell us about these shingles.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
Certainly.
Yeah, of course.
Hey, I have a problem with a discharge line from my HVAC. It came down and stained my asphalt shingles on a bay window. And researched a bit of it to see what would take care of it. And I thought I'd get some feedback from you guys before I got up there and tried something that may not work.
All right. Well, you certainly need to be careful when you get up there, and for several reasons. First, you don't want to fall, and second, you can't be too aggressive on the shingles. And, Joe, we've talked about this a lot. We've had a wide range of discussions from the change of manufacturing of asphalt that's allowing rust to get in there more than it used to. But what do you think Jim should do in tackling that?
Yeah, so this is definitely rust, right? Jim? I mean, it's rust from discharge pipe. It's not from metal rusting. Usually it's like flashing, some cheap flashing or something like that. But you know the source, and it's definitely rust, right?
Yes, it is rust. It came from the emergency discharge line. I had a clog, and it went through the emergency, and it evidently was a rusted pipe.
All right. Well, they do make rust removers, but usually for something like this, which requires like scrubbing, and you definitely don't want to do that because you don't want to, damage the roofing itself. So what you need is you need some oxalic acid. You can buy a 2-pound bag of it. It's usually sold in a 2-pound bag. It's about $15 or so. I think you can get it at home centers. You can certainly get it online. And it's made for cleaning all kinds of stuff. You can use it on almost any surface, concrete, wood. You can certainly use it on a roof. And you mix it according to the directions, and you apply it, and the oxalic acid, and that's the oxalic is spelled O-X-A-L-I-C, oxalic acid.
Got it.
So it's harder to say than to spell. And so that's what you need. I mean, you're not going to need 2 pounds, but I think that's the smallest container I've ever seen. And then, because this might recur. I mean, maybe if the rust might come back someday or right. might have another discharge. So that's basically what you would need to use. It's pretty safe in handling. Of course, you want to wear eye goggles and gloves and all that stuff and be really careful if you're up on a ladder. But go online or check out the local home center or hardware store and see if you can find that particular acid.
Okay, that sounds good. Is it applied with a pump sprayer or something of that nature?
You can spray it and brush it on. Whatever you do, you just want to be, a little careful of the shingles, of course, because you don't want to scrub off any of the granules.
Gotcha.
But, you can put it on almost anyway, actually. I mean, like I said, a brush. It sounds like if it's on a window, it's a relatively small roof we're talking about, right?
It is, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah. So I think a brush, just an inexpensive paintbrush would probably even work.
Okay. Very good.
All right, Jim, I think you've got your solution that you need there. And again, be real careful on that ladder. And if we can help you any other way, let us know.
I appreciate your help, guys. I enjoy your show.
Thank you very much. We certainly appreciate that. I hope you have a great weekend. We're going to go through some emails right now. You can send us one, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Joyce in Ohio asks, all of the interior doors are hollow core interior. While going through Pinterest, I found several ways of painting them. The problem is that my bathroom door is also a hollow core interior door. I live in an old 1.5-story bungalow, and the bathroom does not have a fan. Is it a good idea to paint the door? And if so, what can I use so that the paint will not peel from the moisture? Thank you in advance. Well, Joe, certainly, nothing surprising about interior, hollow core interior doors. Many, many homes have those throughout, especially, newer style homes. And so I'm not really sure to have much of a problem there. I'd certainly suggest putting an exhaust fan in there. But as far as painting, that's a pretty traditional way of painting that in order to take care of the moisture. But the thing we always remind people, there's 6 edges, there's 6 sides to a door. And sometimes people forget that top and bottom.
Yeah, you want to paint all 4 edges, top, bottom edges, the long vertical edges, and, of course, the front and the back. But if the question is it a good idea to paint the door? Yeah, you can. I mean, all the doors in our bathrooms are painted. There's no problem with that. But yeah, I mean, she has to get either a window that she can open or a bath fan in there. I'm not sure why it doesn't have one or the other. It seems like it would almost have to, because that's where the problem is going to be. And, regardless of what the door is finished with, it's not going to help the moisture problem. So we talk about the importance of bath ventilation all the time. Go to Brone Newtone and you can find a fan for your bathroom, I'm sure.
That's right. And boy, I'll tell you, don't cut corners when you're priming that raw wood. Now, I assume this has already been painted, but still, you'd want to lightly sand it, and then you wouldn't necessarily need to prime it if it's already painted, but you just want to make sure that you do get it good and finished. Joe, we got a simple solution coming up. Tell us about it.
We do indeed, and it's how to use nail polish, believe it or not, in the workshop.
Okay, you're going to step on some masculinity here by having some nail polish in your shop. But as we mentioned earlier in the show, this has just been almost a phenomenon, the amount of people that are engaging on Facebook and on our other social platforms about this simple little trick. It just goes to show you how some of the simple things and logical things that, you know, wow, why didn't I think of that, can really create a tremendous amount of interest. So don't go anywhere. You're going to want to hear about this particular simple solution when we come back here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Call Today's Homeowner Radio anytime, 800-946-4420, 800-946-4420.
For summer DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at checkinwithchelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by checkinwithchelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at checkinginwithchelsea.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
So happy to be with you each and every week here on Today's Homeowner Radio. You know, I really appreciate people taking time to give us a call on the hotline or simply just send us an email and say, guys, I really like what you're doing. Keep up the good work. Boy, we get a few of those each week, and that just keeps us pumped up and keeps us ready to dig deeper.
Absolutely.
To get the most current information we can possibly find for you. So we appreciate each and every one of those. And, of course, we also get a lot of emails about the popularity of simple solutions. Joe, anxious to hear another one today.
Okay, as I mentioned earlier, there aren't too many reasons why you might want to have nail polish in your workshop, but here's a really good one. Too many tools have little gauge numbers or graduations engraved in them. We're talking about squares, you know, framing squares, layout squares, which people call speed squares, sockets, you know, often have that engraved dimension on it, whether it's 10 millimeters or 3/4 inch or something like that. And they're becoming almost impossible to see. I don't know if it's me or what, but I just find them really difficult to see. So here's how to make those highly visible, all those markings. Just take some white nail polish and brush it on. You don't have to worry about being too neat. You can actually slop it on, get it on and around the part you want to highlight, let's say the inch graduation on a socket. And then wait, don't wipe it off immediately. Let it sit for, I don't know, maybe a minute or two, 3 minutes, something like that. And then wipe off the excess. And what you want to do, of course, is leave the white nail polish behind in the engraved part of the tool. And you'll be surprised. It goes from not being able to see it at all to being able to see it from across the room. It really works well. Now, depending on the color of the tool, I guess you could use a different color nail polish, but I've found white nail polish works almost every time. And there's a video that you can see of me showing this tip right now at todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions. And go out and get yourself. And I bought the cheapest one I could find. I think it was 99 cents and probably last me the rest of my life. Do shake it up really well, though. That's something I did discover, that these need to be shaken up. Otherwise, it's really thin at the top of the little jar.
And I would think you could almost use some whiteout, some of the whiteout.
Yeah, whiteout's not as durable. White nail polish is surprisingly durable. It's like paint almost, I guess.
Oh, I got you. Okay. Yeah. And you know, it's funny, we also have shared before about keeping some lipstick handy.
Right.
Because when you're, you know, cutting out a piece of paneling or you're putting some drywall up and you have your switches or your regular electrical outlets, to just put a little bit of lipstick around the face of that, push your drywall or your paneling against it, and it marks exactly where you need to cut out. But again, when someone, you know, a homeowner sees you with some lipstick hanging out of your tool bag there, sometimes you have to do some explaining. And the more you explain, the more it seems like you're just absolutely guilty of using that for something else, maybe.
Well, wait till they see the nail polish and the lipstick.
That's what I mean. That's where I was
headed. The mascara you carry around is going to be really hard to
explain. Yeah, that's going to really cause a ripple in the organization.
Halloween's coming sooner or later. Maybe that's where you can use it.
That's right. Hey, we have a lot of fun being with you. That's going to pretty much wrap up the first hour of today's Homeowner Radio. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, that's okay. Head over to todayshomeowner.com. And you'll be able to see what we're going to be talking about in the second hour. And certainly always remember our podcast. And you can check out all the information about it and find out where you can download it at todayshomeowner.com/podcast. Certainly glad that you were with us for this hour. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Hope to talk to you soon.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.